could sit and close her eyes and use her imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Thanks, Dave. Well, time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, it's Mystery with Lights Out and The Coffin in Studio B. But first, let's enjoy some comedy with The Charlie McCarthy Show. The Charlie McCarthy Show was the first major variety hour to use ventriloquism on the air. Edgar Bergen and his dummy Charlie McCarthy were first heard on radio on Rudy Valley's Royal Gelatin Hour in December of 1936. Charlie was sensational. So popular, in fact, with Valley's huge audience, they were brought back again and again. Jason Sanborn decided to cash in on the act's sudden fame by bankrolling Bergen in his own show beginning May 1937. The program continued at a peak of fame for the next decade, and by 1945, Bergen was knocking down $10,000 a week from the radio show alone. In 1948, he left NBC and then returned in 1949 with a CBS show sponsored by Coca-Cola. The program continued on the network until it ended in 1956. So now, let's step back in time and enjoy The Charlie McCarthy Show with special guest star June Allison from December of 1949. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Major Bose, I miss the shadow nose. Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern. Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Burton, Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy. Sunday night, and time again for Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy. With Mortimer Sturt and Ray Noble in his orchestra, and the Mellow Men brought to you each week by the Coca-Cola Company. Tonight's special guest is the lovely lady of the screen, Miss June Allison. And now, Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy.
Yes, I know, honey, but I gotta hang up now, my kumquat. Yes. Well, they've announced me.
Charlie, get off that telephone.
Yeah. Did you get your allowance, babe? Oh, good. Now you can take me out tonight.
Really, Charlie?
So long, my tangerine. I'll be squeezing you.
Charlie, I just couldn't help overhearing your conversation.
Why? Was the extension phone caught in your ear?
No. I can't believe that you'd talk to a girl that way. Who is she?
Well, let's just say she's a good skate, what pays the freight.
Oh, I see. I can't understand this younger generation. Why, when I was growing up, everybody was a gentleman.
You mean there weren't any women at all?
Oh. Sure. I mean, we acted like gentlemen.
Oh.
Apparently, you don't know what a gentleman is.
Oh, sure. A gentleman is a wolf with patience. All right.
Next time you see this girl of yours,
yes.
Why don't you try talking about music and art and why don't you quote poetry?
Oh, no. No, I tell you, Bergen, girls don't take that kind of punishment today.
Oh, they don't. Well, you just try it and see what she does.
I know what she'll do. She'll conk me on the head with her baseball bat.
Yeah. Her baseball bat?
Yeah, sure. She's Homicida Ida.
Oh, she is?
Yes. She's the catcher on our baseball team.
Oh, some girl.
You can say it.
Yes.
Strong as an ox.
Yeah.
And twice as pretty.
Oh, yes, times have changed.
Yeah.
Charlie, I want to remind you that June Allison is coming by to see us, and I wish, for me, I wish you'd remember your party manners.
Did you see June Allison?
Yes. All right.
Now, there is my big moment.
Yeah.
You know, she's just as cute as a button.
Yes.
Now, I'd like to get my button hooks on her.
All right. I want you to think of yourself as a gallant knight and conduct yourself as one of King Arthur's men. Now, those were wonderful days.
Were you happy then, Bergen?
Oh, I wasn't born then.
Oh, look, I see June Allison headed this way. Oh, my heart is turning a handspring.
Here we are, Junie.
Hello, Edgar. Hello, Charlie. Oh.
Junie, it's good to see you.
Yeah, we were just talking about romance and chivalry, you know. Tell me, do you feel spoony, Junie?
That I do, Goonie.
All right, June. I was telling Charlie if he would conduct himself as a knight of King Arthur's time, he would be the most popular boy at school.
You are absolutely right, Edmund. I'm sure everyone would think that
I was nuts.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
Hmm?
It would not fit in with our times. But I would have adored living in those days with all the knights in their shining armor.
Well, what was so great about that?
Well, it would have been so much fun shopping for canned goods.
Why?
Well, in those days, even the men were put up in tins.
Oh. Jude.
You're ashamed, aren't you now? I told you not to say it.
June, I remember seeing you in the MGM picture. What was the name of that MGM picture?
Men put up in tins.
No.
That one will live to haunt you.
All right. Oh, I know that picture, Words and Music, you know, where you did a very clever little scene. It was two knights in armor, and you sang Thou Swell or something.
Yes, that's right. It was about a knight making love to his lady fair with a modern touch.
Yeah, I remember that. I know how the song goes. It goes, Thou Swell. Yeah,
no, Charlie. It goes like this.
You're interrupting me.
Thou swell, thou witty, thou sweet, thou grand, which kissed me pretty, which hold my hand, both thine eyes to kiss me. What they do to me. Hear me holler, I choose a sweet holler, but lose her see. I feel so rich in a hut for two rooms and kitchen. I'm sure would do give me just a plot of not a lot of land. And thou swell, thou witty, thou grand. Thou swell,
thou witty,
thou sweet,
thou grand,
would kiss me pretty,
would hold my hand,
both thine eyes are cute too, what they do to me. Hear me holler, I choose a sweet holler, a loser can be.
So my sweet love a loser, I feel so rich in the tiny little quarters I for two.
Two rooms and kitchen, I'm sure would do.
Just a part of
not a lot of land. And thou swell, thou witty, thou grand. How do you like my
my voice, Charlie?
Well, I think it's very...
Yeah, well, so do I. I've been told that I have the range of Lily Pons and the vivacity of Mary Martin. Do you think so?
Well, I...
Well, I don't think so either.
No. You know, you've got me kind of interested in that King Arthur stuff.
Say, I have an idea, Charlie.
Yeah?
The museum has a wonderful display in their armor room. Let's go and see it.
Now, that is a splendid idea. Now, you two go ahead and I'll meet you at the museum. Mortimer, how do you find yourself these days?
Well, most of the days I just don't bother to.
I'm on my way to the museum with Charlie.
Well?
Yes.
Listen.
Yes. Have you ever been there?
Where?
To the museum.
Oh, yeah. That's the way it goes.
Yes. But how did you like it?
The what?
The museum.
Oh, the museum. Well, I reckon it'll be all right when they get all that junk cleaned out of there.
What did you enjoy most at the museum?
Sliding down the long banister out front. Riggity.
All right, all right. I mean, what did you get from your visit?
Splinters,
I mean. Well, now, you might get something more out of it if you come along with us. You know, I understand the museum is adding a new wing.
Well, that won't do much good.
Why?
They'll never get it off the ground.
Oh. Why don't you come with us and go through the museum again?
No. I ain't never going there no more. No. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, no, I don't think I will. Wild horseradishes couldn't drag me.
Exactly. What's wrong with the museum?
Well, it's too dangerous. Last time I was there, I seen a fellow that was hurt so bad that they had him bandaged from his head clear down to... from his head down to, down to those, from his head down to... Oh, what is the name of those things that live in shoes? Oh.
Feet?
Yeah, that's close enough.
Well, what about him?
Well, this poor fellow looked like he was blindfolded all over.
Is that so? Yeah. Now, wait a minute, Mortimer. Just where did you see this bandaged-up man?
Well, he was leaning against the wall in the gypsy section.
You mean in the Egyptian section?
Well, that's what I said. Well,
all right.
I talked to him, but his mind, you know, is a little wandering.
I see.
I tried to get his mind off his injuries, but he was kind of close-mouthed.
You were. He didn't say much.
No, he didn't say much. No, didn't say much at all. Conversation sort of drug.
A drug,
yeah.
Well, Mortimer, you were talking to a mummy.
I was?
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to help him.
I know. But I'm afraid you were too late to help him. About 4,000 years too late.
Well, I got there as soon as I could.
Mortimer, I'm trying to tell you that bandaged man is completely ossified.
Well, can you blame him for taking a nip like that?
Taking a nip?
Yeah. To sort of blunt the pain?
Blunt the pain, yeah. Well, he was in no pain because he was dead. Now, let me explain about mummies. After they were prepared and wrapped, they were put in a tomb, and lots of food was buried with them.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, now you know it. I reckon it ain't so bad being dead if you still got your appetite.
Yes. Well, it was merely a custom. Now, do you feel that you know a little more about that bandaged man?
Oh, sure. I know him real well now. We'll have lots to talk about as soon as he can have visitors.
Oh, yes. How can you be so stupid?
Well, who cares as long as it gets results? I don't know.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Yeah, well, now there's June waiting on the steps of the museum, but no sign of Charlie. Well, I might have known he'd be late. Here I am, June. Have you been here long?
No, I just got here, Edgar. Oh,
did you have any trouble finding the museum?
Day.
Oh. Just got through with him, June.
I think Charlie went in ahead of us.
Well, why did he go in ahead?
Well, the doorman said a little boy asked him where he could find the statue of Lady Godiva.
That's Charlie. That's my boy. Well, let's go in and find him. No, I wonder which way it is to the armor room.
Hello, Fran. Hello. Fran, hello. I'm Ursula Kling, Fran. Simmer down. I'm your friendly museum guide.
How do you do?
How do you do? Thank you.
How do you do?
My motto, please. My motto is tours with a smile if the tip is worthwhile.
We're interested in the armor the knights used to wear. Could you show us through that room?
Well, I could, but heavens to Elizabeth, it's way over on the other side.
So?
Would you rather stay here and kind of look at our exhibit of old bones?
No, I don't.
Well, they're just chock full of interest and calcium.
Why don't you take us to the armor room?
Well, mainly because my feet hurt.
What? Bad feet?
No, not. I've got good feet. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I forgot to bring my corn plasters today, though I don't know why. I usually keep some on hand.
Oh, on hand? On hand, I...
Well, not exactly on hand either, but I usually keep them on my feet.
We're only interested in the armor.
Well, please, won't you please look at my bones instead, Fran? See those the huge prehistoric ones over there?
Yeah.
Looky. One bone is over 15 feet long. An explorer dug it up.
My goodness. Think of the size of the prehistoric dog that buried it.
You're awful cute. I just knew that you folks would enjoy my lecture on bones once I got my teeth into it.
Are you an authority on such things?
Authority? Am I an authority? For heaven's sake, I'll have you know that I've got brains. I'm not just a pretty face.
That is very true. Very true.
What you said about prehistoric times was very interesting. Do you know much about the lost races?
Do I know? Oh, my. Last season, I didn't win a single race at Santa Anita.
Is there any chance that you might condescend to show us the armor room?
No. Don't be in such a hurly-burly, Curly.
Yeah.
I'll be just happy, very happy to take you there if you'll carry me piggyback.
Fine guy, you are too weak to walk.
But
no.
If you think I'm a weakling just because my feet hurt, you're sadly mistaken.
All right, so I made a mistake.
Yes, you made a mistake, and not only that, but you pulled a terrible, if you'll pardon the expression, bloomer.
Oh, is it?
Very strong, but we did come here to see the armor.
Well, why must you always rush and hurry around and make everybody nervous? You can go right across the hall to the American Indian room and see Standing Bull.
Isn't that Sitting Bull?
No, the floors over there are so cold.
Come on, June, we'll find the armor room ourselves.
All right, go on. I didn't like your attitude in the first place. You just got me in such a snit anyway that if I was not 100% American, I'd be seeing red. Go on. Goodbye, aye.
Let's see now. Oh, there's the armor room right across the corridor, June.
Oh, yes. And Charlie's waiting for us.
Hello, June. Oh, I always knew you were beautiful, but standing next to Bergen, you're positively gorgeous.
Well, thank you, Charlie. And you too, Edgar.
Yeah.
Just look at this medieval display.
Yes, isn't that an impressive armor, that suit there?
Oh, it's wonderful material. Sort of a galvanized gabardine.
Yeah.
I wonder how they had their suits pressed in those days.
Yeah, I bet the laundries tore the bolts off the shirts.
Well, according to the legend of King Arthur, the noble knights performed many feats of derring-do for their ladies fair. And from all over Britain, they came to Camelot to earn their seats at the round table.
His Majesty, King Arthur.
Greetings, brave knights. Take thy seats at the round table. Sir Lancelot, methinks thou dost look handsome in thy new suit of armor.
Thanks, your majesty. I have a new tailor, Sir Henry of Ford.
Oh, yes. I've heard his slogan, watch the pants go by. Thy suit looketh a bit rusty. Methinks it needs a lube job.
Yeah. Tonight I shall go out and get oiled.
Lancelot, really, thou must mend thy ways. It looketh bad for a knight at the round table to spend all his nights at the pool table.
No.
Oh. I said that was a jest, methinks.
Thou certainly doest. What is this?
Come out here.
Yeah. What cometh near, my good Merlin?
Sire, a group of strolling players approaches.
Oh, that is to say, Owen. How now, good players? What cookies?
Hello, gentlemen. Oh, yes, you blokes are in the mood for some games and music. Blimey, I really hope so.
Zounds, thou art a comely tomato. What hast thou in yon basket?
Coconuts, your highness. They're part of the game. Special they are, and only a penny a pitch. Would you like to hear more about it, gentlemen?
Aye, tell us more, me lass.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Coconuts.
There they are, standing in the row.
In the row.
Big one, small one, some as big as your head. Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist, that's what a showman said. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
A coconut.
Every one you throw will make you rich.
Make you rich.
There stands me wife, the idol of me life, a singing roll, a bell, a ball, a penny, a bitch. Singing roll a bowl a ball a penny a bit.
A roll a bowl a.
See roll a bowl a ball a penny a bit.
A roll a bowl a bowl a.
Roll a bowl a ball. A roll a bowl a ball. Singing roll a bowl a ball a penny a bit.
Why don't you roll a bowl a bowl a bowl a ball? Roll a bowl a bowl a bowl a ball. A penny a bit, a penny a bit, a penny a roll a ball. Roll a bowl a ball a penny a bit to roll a ball.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Nuts.
There they are, standing in a row.
Row, 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 row.
Big one, small one, some as big as your head.
Wow.
Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist, that's what a showman said. Oh, got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Here you are, here you are, my lucky lad. Penny a shy, penny a shy. Now then, lady, you try your luck.
My good man, how much do you require for one coconut?
One copper, lady. 1/6 of a tenner.
Oh, how terribly, terribly vulgar.
Penny a shy, penny a shy. What about you, dearie?
Well, can me little boy have a free throw?
Free throw? Knock it, knock it. No free throws around here. Here, young'un, where's your penny?
I swallowed it.
Well, you all be more careful, ain't you? Never heard of Lend-Lease?
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are, standing in the row.
Big one, small one, some as big as your head. Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist, that's what a showman said.
Oh, I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Every ball you throw will make me rich.
Me husband's over there, the idol of the fair. Sing and roll a bowl, a ball, a penny, a bit.
A bit, a bit.
Sing and roll a bowl, a ball, a penny, a bit. Sing and roll a bowl, a ball, a penny, a bit. Roll a bowl, a ball.
Roll a bowl, a ball, a penny.
A lovely bunch of coconuts.
Roll a bowl, a ball, a penny.
A lovely bunch of coconuts.
Roll a bowl, a ball, a penny.
Nah.
Coconut!
Splendid. Splendid. Here, my lass. Here is a gold coin for thee.
Nay, nay, your majesty. Tis not gold I seek, but aid from yon noble knight.
Well, buckle my doublet and rivet me breeches. Yon ragged wench talks like a lady.
I am Princess June. My sister May has been held prisoner since last February by the Black Knight, Sir August.
Looks like Sir August stole a march on us. He thinks I sound like Sir Milton of Berle.
It was to escape us from the clutches of the Black Knight that I disguised myself in this cheap $500 copy of an Adrian dress.
Well, Jerry, thou art a lovely vision withal. I, Sir Lancelot, bow low before thee. Oh, methinks I bowed a little too low.
You should be careful, Lancelot. You've dented your pants a lot.
Fear not, my princess. I shall go forth and rescue thy sister from the cowardly Black Knight.
Wait. Before thou takest thy leave, thou must consult the royal wizard. Merlin! Merlin!
Wait, wait.
What sayest thou? Perform thy magic.
Oh, yes, your majesty. Take us all a card from this deck. Any card. Tell us me not what it is.
No, Merlin, no. Lookest thou into the future, that we may know the perils that awaits the Lancelot.
Abracadabra. Hocus pocus. Presto, change your metro.
Oh, get to the trick.
Sir Lancelot, I see you and the princess coming to a wide river. Hocus pocus. I see a river too deep to ford, too perilous to swim. and you have no boat.
Then how do we get across?
You use the bridge.
Doesn't know his hocus from his pocus.
Now you meet a giant and tilt with him in the darkness.
That's impossible. When I tilt, I always light up. Come, my princess, we will saddle my noble steed and hie us hence.
Good. We will need it an early start because hence is 20 miles away. Get it uncomfortable. Methinks our steeds grow weary.
Thou art so right, princess. I will trade them in for fresh ones.
Where is?
Oh, there is the madman Merlin's used horse lot.
Merlin? I thought if he was a magician.
Ah, he was, but things had been rougheth on magicians since vaudeville died.
Welcome, Sir Lancelot and damsel fair. May I help with thee?
Forsooth, we wanted a horse.
For eating or for riding?
Forsooth.
Odds bodikins, I have just the thing for thee. This horse over here is practically brand new. He hath very low mileage.
Oh, he's not bad, Sir Lancelot. Look at those white sidewall feet.
Well, he was owned by an old lady in Pasadena. She just used him to go shopping. She was up with on blocks for 6 months.
Is he four-gated?
No, four-legged, one in each corner. Verily, he is a bargain and can be financed through the Bank of Camelot.
And pay a 12% interest? Nay, Violet, I will give us the cash.
What about accessories? Teeth are extra, you know.
He needeth not teeth. All he eats is hay, and he can gum that.
Yes. Here is the money, madman. Come, princess. We must get to the Black Knight and headeth for the blackout.
We are nearing the castle where my sister is imprisoned. Look, here cometh the Black Knight. Loose thy lance and lance lunge.
Fear not, my beloved. I shall cut through his armor with ease, for on the end of my lance I have a can opener. On guard, Varlet. Cometh to joust with thee, I do.
Oh, splendid Sir Lancelot. You have unseated the Black Knight.
And now pull back his visor and looketh upon his evil face. Who is it?
Greetings, fair. Oh. But in the future, friends, will you please knock before you come in?
How, villain, what hast thou to say before I cut it off thy head?
Goodbye, aye.
Lancelot, my darling, now that thou hast conquered the Black Knight, I will love thee forevermore. Put thy armor around me.
Oh, my fair one, nothing but nothing can cometh between us. Don't be too sureth about that, huh?
Art thou a messenger from Camelot?
No, Miss Allison, I'm a messenger from your movie lot. You got a 6 o'clock call in the morning.
Oh, no.
Good night, princess.
Good night, knight.
Now, here's Edgar Bergen.
Just a word of thanks to June Allison for appearing with us tonight. I guess next week will be the cowboy king of radio and television, Hopalong Cassidy. Good night, everybody.
June Allison appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Adam's Rib, starring Spencer Tracy, Katherine Hepburn, and June Holliday. This is Bill Baldwin speaking from the famous Pasadena Playhouse. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From December of 1949, there's the Charlie McCarthy Show with special guest star June Allison. In a moment, it's Lights Out and The Coffin in Studio B as Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio.
Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Lights Out, radio's ultimate horror show, was first heard locally on Chicago station WENR as a late-night 1934 15-minute feature. The show was created by Willis Cooper, then a staffer at NBC's Chicago studios. In April of 1935, it opened Wednesdays on NBC Red. Upon Cooper's departure for the West Coast in 1936, NBC brought in Arch Obler, a young playwright who had done some work for Rudy Valley. Lights Out really became Obler's show. From his first program in May of 1936, Obler approached each new script as a challenge. After 2 years of constantly trying to top himself, Obler quit and began his famous plays series. Lights Out continued for a year after Obler's departure. The show ran until August of 1939. Then in October of 1942, Obler resurrected Lights Out from New York as a 30-minute Tuesday night CBS entry for Ionized Yeast. That continued until September of 1943. A final series came to Mutual in 1947 and then went to television until 1952. Here now, from the late 1940s, is episode number 104 of Lights Out and the Coffin in Studio B. Another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
Lights out. Everybody. This is the witching hour. It is the hour when dogs howl and evil is let loose on a sleeping world. Want to hear about it? Then turn out your lights.
The National Broadcasting Company brings you Lights Out. Willis Cooper is your author, and Albert Cruz, your director. Sit in the dark now and listen to
Lights Out.
And what will you do if I won't?
Something very unpleasant, my dear chap.
For example?
For example, it is quite possible that I will kill you.
You amaze me.
No, I assure you I'm quite serious.
It's impossible.
Not impossible at all.
May I ask just how you propose to, end my life, shall I say?
I shall cut your throat. Neatly, and as the books have it, with dispatch.
You've been reading books, then?
We're wasting time. What's the answer?
The answer is the same as it has always been.
You refuse, then?
I refuse, yes.
Very well. You forced me to become a murderer.
Cut. Look, I don't want to throw you up on this first reading, but not much is coming through in here. I don't know just how to say it, but it just doesn't gel for some reason or other. Now, let's think about these lines. Well, let's hold it a minute.
What's the matter, George? Who is it, me or Ed?
Well, I hate to throw you up on this first reading, but, Fritz, I think it's you. Something wrong. It's the attack on the part, or maybe you're throwing those lines away without any sincerity. There's no menace in the part. You see what I mean? Well, look, let me come on out.
Hammond again, eh, Fritz?
Okay, character. Let it alone. I'm having enough trouble.
Look, he can act. Honest, George. Fella's got a card.
All right, let's can the funny stuff, Ed. We got some work to do, and I want you to just pay attention, if you don't mind.
All right.
Look, Fritz, how do you feel in this thing?
I don't know. It's not right. I don't know what to do, though.
Well, you don't sound convincing. You see my point?
Yeah.
Have you got any ideas on how you might do it?
No. Oh, wait a minute. What about dialect? I could do a little German.
German. Wait a minute. No. I don't think I want any German on this thing. I hear too much of that. Some Austrian? No, that's too close to German.
I don't know.
How's your French? Let's see how your French is.
Oh, it's all right.
No. Look, I don't want to make him too definite. See, he should be a kind of a combination. A lot of menace in there. Quiet, but I got to believe the guy. Make him, let's see, what's that word? I want him to...
Continental.
Yeah, that's it. Just not too much now. Just a whip of
continental, okay? Let me try it. Yeah,
all right, we'll try it now from the top, huh?
Let's try it.
Okay. And what will you do if I won't?
Something very unpleasant, my dear chap.
for example?
For example, it is quite possible that I will kill you.
You amaze me.
I assure you, I am quite serious.
Okay, hold it.
How's it doing now? How's it sound?
Are you asking me or the director?
Well, it sounds a lot better than it did before. I think you'll work into it. Yeah, well, look, Fritz, I think that'll do it. What do you say we put it up on the mic and let's see how it sounds? Take that whole scene over.
How is it for age, George?
Oh, the age is okay. I want a little bit of age, not too much age.
Just
about right. My daughter knows where you have it.
All right.
Rehearsals. Well, it beats digging ditches for a living, I guess.
Oh, does it?
So they tell me.
Well, anyway, it's cool in here. Thank the Lord for air conditioning.
I wish it was 9:30.
Okay, characters, now give me that Afra number 5 now, will you? And let's hear it again from the top.
And what will you do if I won't?
Something very unpleasant, my dear chap.
For example?
For example, it is quite possible I will kill you.
You amaze me.
I assure you, I am quite serious. Possible? Not impossible at all.
May I ask just how you propose to end my life, shall I say?
I shall cut your throat. Neatly, and as the books have it, with dispatch.
Oh, you've been reading books, then.
We are wasting time. What's the answer?
The answer is the same as it has always been.
You refuse, then?
I refuse, yes.
Very well. You forced me to become a murderer.
Lord Fritz, you sound about as much like a murderer as... Oh, I give up.
Oh, for the love of Mike, George, what do you want me to do? Growl?
No, I don't want you to growl. But I do want you, if you won't find it too inconvenient, to act just a little bit like a murderer. You know, a murderer, a guy that kills people.
Yeah.
He wants you to make faces, Fritz.
Ah, shut up.
Wait, I'll come out there again.
How you doing, kid?
I give up. I don't know what the man wants.
Now, listen, sweetheart, have you the faintest idea how a guy acts when he's going to kill somebody? Have you?
No, but I got a hunch I'm going to know about it in a minute.
Oh, well, that'll be swell. Because the way you're doing it now, a guy'd think that you're Ed's brother or something.
Oh, George.
Now, listen, get it through your thick skull that we got a show in a few minutes. We're going on the air, radio, remember, you see? You're supposed to be a murderer.
I know, but it's going to come a lot easier if you don't
you can't take it, huh?
Oh, nuts.
All right, well, let's try it again. Take it from that line. The answer is the same as it has always been, Ed. Go on, man.
All right. The answer is the same as it has always been.
You refuse... Pardon me. You refuse, then.
Hey, George.
Oh, for... Oh.
Now what? Well, what do you want?
There's an old gent out here wanting to see you.
What's he want?
I don't know.
Well, tell him to go away. No, wait. Who is he?
I don't know.
How can I keep a character?
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder.
Oh. And he said he wants to see Ed, not you.
Who is he?
Won't give his name.
Probably some guy that you owe money to.
You should talk. Well, look, tell him... Well, listen, we're right in the middle of a rehearsal.
Go ahead and talk to him, Ed. We can smoke a cigarette or play tiddlywinks.
No.
But listen, you tell him to make it snappy. We got a show to get on.
All right. Tell him to come in here, Horace.
Go right in.
Well, there you are, Mr. Henley. Good evening, sir. Good evening.
Why, I don't believe I've ever had...
Don't know me, eh? Well, I know you, Mr. Henley. Mr. Ed Henley, yes, sir.
He owes the old guy dough, all right.
I'm afraid I don't know
you, sir. Come up to show you my book. I figured you'd like to have a look at it now while you have the chance, just in case you had any choice. Folks don't often have the choice, you know.
Choice? Choice of what?
Now, here, let me show you the book. I won't be a minute. I don't like to disturb your work, you know, but it's got to be done, I guess. Now, this one here...
Ye gods! Coffin!
What?
Coffins? Look, it's a catalog of coffins!
Caskets.
Huh?
Yes, that's right. Yes, sir, the neatest line of caskets in the country. And nothing but the best. No, sir. Now, looky here, this number, A1436, ain't it? Yes. All gray silk, solid silver handle.
Say, listen, what is this?
Or this model, A5499 in mahogany.
Wait a minute, mister. What's this all about?
Why, I just figured Mr. Henley'd kind of like to pick himself out a casket.
Well, who are you?
So I brought up the book here to show him. I got my tape measure right here in my pocket.
Ah, it's a rib, George. Somebody sent him up here.
Oh, yeah?
No, nobody sent me. I just thought Mr. Henley...
Well, look, Mr. Henley's busy. We're rehearsing a radio show here, and we've got just a few more minutes before we go on the air. So if you don't mind...
I know. You're rehearsing Lights Out. I know all about it. Listen, every Saturday night. I like it. All about ghosts and corpses and things. Yes, sir.
Oh, well, that's fine, but we've got work to do now.
Well, I'll get right out of here. Just as soon as Mr. Henley makes up his mind. Now, this A1436 that I will show
Listen,
you...
Listen, mister, I don't want to buy a coffin. I've got no use for one. Do you get me?
Solid silver handle.
George, this guy's screwy.
Oh, no, 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 sir. Now, wait. I got some pictures here in colors, if you like something a little fancier. Just a minute, how till I find it?
Fritz, sir, yeah? Go get Horace and have him get this old gent out of here. I think the old guy's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Mister, did somebody send you up here to see Ed Henley?
Send me? No, sir. I told you. I thought it up my own self. Now, this here H6782 with the bronze plate on top. How do you like that? Pretty nifty, ain't it? Hmm? Yes, sir.
Listen, I've told you I don't want a coffin.
You can have it with solid silver plate, if you like that better.
If I were you, Ed, I'd get the one with the silver plate. Huh? Oh, yes. Yeah, I'd rather like that one with a silver plate. Mm-hmm, that's the one, all right.
H6782A with solid silver plate. Yes, sir. Well, that's all I wanted to know. Yes, sir. That's what I come up here for. Thank you kindly, Mr. Henley. I think you'll find it very satisfactory.
Sure, I will.
And thank you, sir. I'll be going now. Thank you ever so much. Sorry to interrupt you.
Well, goodbye.
Goodbye, gentlemen. Thank you very much, Mr. Henley.
Well, I wonder what goes with that guy.
Whose idea was that?
No.
It's all right, Fritz. He's gone now.
What?
We don't need you, Horace.
Huh? Where'd he go?
Well, he just went out that door a minute ago. Didn't you see him?
No. He must have went the other way.
He went out that door right there.
Oh, that's funny. We didn't see him.
Listen, Horace, was that your idea?
Mine? Oh, gosh, no.
Hey, I know. It was one of the announcers.
Wisecracking, guys.
Well, I don't think it was so funny myself. Not at this time of night with nobody else in the whole place.
How'd you get rid of him, Ed?
Oh, the old guy was showing us coffin after coffin, and I suggested to Ed that he buy number H6783A.
With solid silver plate.
So, he said okay, and it's grand. Leave it to me to handle the screwy guys. I've had experience enough producing shows around here.
Thank you, dear.
You birds want me anymore?
No, Horace, thanks. Oh, if you see old Joe Coffin Seller again, though, tell him we're not in the market. Now, come on, let's get to work.
Yeah, it's about time. Where do we start?
There on page 6, line 5. The answer is the same and so on, you know.
All right. The answer is the same as it has always been.
You refuse, then, eh?
I refuse,
I'll
yes.
I'll get that the next time through. Very well, then. You force me to become a murderer.
No, you force me to become a murderer.
You force me to become a murderer.
Go on.
I don't know.
You know the penalty for murder in this country? Put down that knife.
You have had your last chance.
No, don't kill me.
I warned
don't.
You. I warned
no,
you, but
no.
you would not listen
no,
to me.
No.
Cut.
Oh, what?
Now, listen, we got to plant that knife somehow.
Oh, holy smokes, George, I can't say it. I am now about to stab you with this here repulsive knife, can I?
Ah, well, that's the trouble with writers. No imagination. Let me see now.
Well, I could say drop the knife again.
No, let me think. Tick. Shut up.
Sorry.
Oh, I got it. Oh, look, why do sound effects guys have to go on vacations? Is there a knife out there someplace?
I don't know. I'll look over here. Let's see. Yeah, here's one.
Well, what kind is it?
Pocket knife. I think I just dropped it in my pocket, too. I've been wanting a knife like this.
Well, let's see it.
I got Ben Dibbs on it.
Well, now, look. You hold it up close to the microphone and open it. Make it click. And I'll go to the control room and listen.
Very well, Orson.
It'll probably sound like a door opening.
So what? It's more than the door opening gag we got, sounds like.
All right, let's hear it now. Open it up. No, not so loud. Try it again. Okay. Now, Fritz, you put that effect in just as you start to struggle. Give me it.
No, help, that business.
Yes.
No. Bones!
You would not listen to me.
No. Stabbing!
Oh, yeah, okay.
You better fall down on the floor, Ed. It'll sound better.
Why is it I always have to do the falls?
Go on.
Nuts. Okay.
Now, how are we going to ring that gong? Oh, I don't see why we can't get some help on this show.
Why don't you get Horace?
Well, that's an idea. I'll go get him.
Oh, gosh, I'm tired. I was here at 9 this morning for an audition, and I haven't even had time to get any dinner.
Actors, the idol, Rich.
Says you. Say, who do you suppose sent that dilly old bird up here?
I don't know. A lot of funny jokers around the shop.
That was a good gag for this show, I guess. Except I don't suppose it'll be so funny for the old gent when he finds out it was a gag.
Yeah, I don't imagine it's a very good racket running around peddling coffins.
I never even knew they peddled coffins that way.
Neither did I.
I was reading.
The genius.
Time to catch up on your reading after the show's over. I want you to sot that gong.
All you gotta do is take the little club and clout the gong when George points at you, Horace.
If George points at you, Horace.
Listen, who's producing this show?
I sometimes wonder.
Where's the stick to hit it with?
You are practically standing on it.
Huh? Oh.
All right, now. Now, look, I'll go in the control room, and you guys go on into the fight. Now, you watch me, Horace, and when I point, you sot that gong.
Okay.
Oh, George, listen, do we have to go through the whole thing again? My throat.
No, just the struggle part. Now, wait till I get in.
Hit it a good bat, Horace.
Okay, struggle. Well, pay attention, dummy. Will you hit that gong?
Oh. Excuse me, I was watching Ed and Fritz.
Well, look, you watch me from now on. I'll give you the cues, and you do them. You got it?
Okay.
Go ahead, struggle.
Okay. Oh, I gotta go, George. The phone's ringing in the lobby.
Well, hurry up. We're practically on the air.
How are we doing? Oh, I wish I had a cigarette.
No smoking in the studios.
Speak when spoken to. I was talking to Fritz.
Oh, well, there's still no smoking in the studios.
Oh, brother. Want to go get something to eat after the show, Ed?
Oh, not me. I'm gonna be dead.
I'm dragging, too. I'm going sailing with Jake tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you can have it. Okay, George, I'm back.
Well, look, come on, will you? Come on.
Hey, you know who that was?
Sure, somebody wanting to know what time Fred Waring's on.
No, it was.
Come on, will you? Can the guessing games? Let's go.
It was the old coffin guy. He wanted to know if Mr. Henley wanted a silver or a bronze plate on his coffin.
What'd you tell him?
Silver, I said. Nothing cheap about Mr. Henley, I said.
Listen, you oughtn't to kid the old guy like that. He's just a poor, harmless old bird. Besides, the first thing you know, somebody will be knocking at my door, delivering a coffin and collecting money for it.
Trying to collect, you mean?
Now, listen, you lugs. If you want to play comedy, you put the bite on Don McNeil, will you? You're wasting your time over on this side. Now, let's go to work. Now, if that old guy calls up again, you tell him to go jump in the lake. Now, come on, look at page 10. We won't have time to take a press. Top of the page. I want running footsteps, all three of you, across the studio floor, up the stair steps. You stomp and run back down. You got it? On my cue. Okay, hurry up now. Now, take the knock on the door and the footsteps coming in. That's bottom of page 11. You do the knock, Ed. Horace, you open the door. And Fritz, you do the footsteps. You got it? On my cue. Okay, keep it that way. She's coming right up now. Fritz, you do the wind machine.
Right,
George. Ed, you do the chime.
Okay.
Horace, you sock that gong.
Right, George.
On your toes now. At my cue, Fritz. Quiet, everyone. 5 seconds.
Lights out. Everybody. This is the witching hour. It is the hour when dogs howl and evil is let loose on the sleeping world. Want to hear about it? Then turn out your lights.
Good evening, my dear friend.
Good evening, Doctor.
Why don't you come in?
Thank you.
Here, let me take your coat and hat.
Oh, certainly. There you are, Doctor.
Won't you come in and sit down?
Thank you.
Well?
It's all taken care of.
Really?
Quite.
You have the proof?
Well?
Of course, you realize, my dear friend, I cannot be expected to carry out our little arrangement unless I have proof.
Yes, I was reasonably sure of that.
And so?
There is a hat crumpled in the left-hand pocket of my overcoat.
A hat?
His hat. I think you'll find that it has a bullet hole through the crown and there are several bloodstains.
Oh, fine. You don't mind if I look for myself?
Oh, of course not. That's why I bought it, you see.
Yes, yes, yes. Apparently, a very neat job.
I specialize in neat jobs, Doctor.
Do you mind telling me how it was done?
Not at all. I waited for him in the driveway of his house. Cold, too, tonight. He left his car at the gate and walked up to the house. We had planned on that, you remember?
Yes, 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 yes.
And when he came close enough, I shot him.
Oh, so noisy.
There was a silencer on the revolver.
Thoughtful of you.
I'm always thoughtful, Doctor.
Excellent.
I even stepped close enough to him to ensure powder burn.
Better and better.
And the revolver is there, without the silencer, to make it look like suicide. So?
I congratulate you, my dear friend.
Thank you. I am conscientious.
Are you conscientious enough to remember what I asked you to bring?
Yes, quite.
May I have it?
I think not.
What'd you say?
I came here tonight merely to thank you, Doctor, for your cooperation. I find myself a richer man.
I hope you are joking, my friend.
Not at all.
You don't want to give up the packet of jewels?
I couldn't have put it more neatly myself, Doctor.
I see. You have not forgotten that I paid you a sum of money to perform this service for me?
$500.
That is correct.
That is why I came here.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
To return the $500. You see, Doctor, I have decided to keep the jewels instead.
I see. Would you care for a drink?
Brandy, perhaps.
If you like. Water?
No, thank you, no.
Your health.
If you don't mind, Doctor, let us exchange glasses.
You are a remarkably suspicious man.
I have to be, if you please.
Oh, quite.
I thought so, Doctor. Well, your good health. And now I'll be going, if you don't mind.
Oh, must you go, really?
Yes. Here are your $500.
My offer is still good.
Your offer?
$500 for eliminating this man and bringing me the jewels from his pocket.
Oh. I'm sorry not to be able to accept your offer, Doctor. I've made other arrangements, you see.
May I point out that you left your revolver at our friend's side?
May I point out that it is extremely possible that I have another.
Possible?
Probable.
Shall we have another drink?
May I pour?
If you like. Enough. Thank you. Now, shall we discuss this further?
I'm afraid there is very little to discuss, Doctor.
If you do not mind,
no,
I would...
No, there is nothing to discuss. I'm grateful to you, my dear Doctor, for putting me in the way of earning the very comfortable sum that these jewels will bring. I'm equally grateful to you for your hospitality. But I really must go.
Oh, I beg of you. Let me point out that a gentleman of your reputation might have some difficulty in disposing of the jewels.
There are ways.
Would it not be a great deal safer for you to take the $500 with no further risk than to keep the jewels and run the risk of hanging?
I'll take the risk. Besides, if anything unpleasant does happen to me in the course of disposing of the jewels, I can always remind my captors of the part that you played in this little affair. You see?
I'm afraid you'd have a very difficult time proving that.
Perhaps. But I'll run the risk. Good night,
Doctor. Don't hurry, I beg of you. I should dislike to have any unpleasant happening.
You forget that I have a revolver, Doctor.
That is a lie.
I wouldn't take a chance if I were you, Doctor.
I'm not taking a chance. I know you have no revolver.
Really?
Really?
Interesting. How?
A very simple process of deduction. There is none in your overcoat. I could tell by the weight of it.
Huh? But there is.
Ah, thank you. I was almost certain that it was there.
You...
And so I took the liberty of locking your overcoat in the closet when I got up to inspect our friend's hats. Checkmate, my dear friend.
Stalemate, I think. I still have the jewels.
And I warn you for the last time to give them to me.
I'm sorry.
It would be a great deal better for you if you would, you know.
What will you do if I won't?
Something very unpleasant, my dear friend.
For example?
It is quite possible I will kill you.
You amaze me.
I assure you, I am quite serious.
Impossible.
It's not impossible at all.
May I ask just how you propose to, end my life, shall I say?
I shall cut your throats, neatly and as the books have it, with dispatch.
You've been reading books, then.
Come, we are wasting time. What's the answer?
The answer is the same as it has always been.
You refuse, then?
I refuse, yes.
Very well. You force me to become a murderer.
You know the penalty for murder in this country, Doctor. Put down that knife.
You have had your last chance.
No. No, don't kill me.
I warned you.
No.
I warned you.
No, no.
You would not listen.
No, help me. Help. Oh.
Ed. Ed.
You.
Ed.
You stabbed me, Fritz.
Oh, my God. Horace, look. The knife slipped. I didn't mean... I cut him. I didn't mean to cut him. I cut him.
I... Blood. You've really killed him, Fritz.
Oh, no. No, I...
Well, I just got here in time, didn't I? Yes, sir. Model 8-6782 with silver plate for Mr. Henley.
No!
Yes, sir. Just bring it right in, boys. Mr. Henley's all ready for it.
You have just heard The Coffin in Studio B, the second in the summer revival series of Lights Out. In tonight's cast, you heard Bob Murphy as Ed, Sherman Marks as Fritz, Don Gallagher as George, Jack Bivens as Horace, and Charles Eggleston as the coffin salesman.
All right. You can turn them on now.
From the late 1940s, it's been episode number 104 of Lights Out and The Coffin in Studio B. That's all we have time for today, but tune in again next week, and why not invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those thrilling days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, volio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
KSSR DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.
The night away, listening to your favorite big bands. Places like Glen Island Casino, the Coconut Grove. Relive the music and the memories. All your favorite bands from all the most exciting night spots. Coming up on Make Believe Ballroom. a part of Swing Street Radio with Craig Roberts.
Each week at this time, we present live recorded music from famous ballrooms and night spots from across the nation. In radio's early days, most of the music enjoyed by listeners came from live performances via remote. Places like the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago, the Palomar in Los Angeles, and the Palladium in New York were just a few of the locations where radio brought its microphones in order to bring fine listening and dancing music to the nation. On this edition of Swing Street Ballroom, we present a sample of just such a live broadcast. As the network announcers used to say, the nation's leading dance bands from the nation's leading dance spots. So, time now to move the furniture out of the way, roll back the carpet, and get ready to dance. It's the Swing Street Ballroom.
It's make-believe ballroom time.